Right then, this is it. Last Chance Saloon is ringing the last order's bell. What can make a difference, though, is ironing out any of those last-minute misconceptions that may have crept in. So let's start with a distributed database. So often confused with distributed computing, and confused, too, with online databases. So a distributed database is data stored on a number of servers at different physical locations, which appears as one logical database, under the centralized control of a DBMS, a database management system. So, quick revision point, this is a number of servers connected together to replicate one database for a very large business that needs to have the fault tolerance built in to not rely just on one physical server. Queries are performed on a local server, which gives a faster response time and reduces network traffic. The disadvantage is that server instances need to be synchronized, which is totally reliant on expensive external communications lines, and it's harder to control data security when spread across different physical locations. Now, that's all fine and dandy, and was covered in a bit more detail in an earlier podcast episode. So what, then, is distributed computing? Well, the simple answer is nothing to do with databases. Very rich organisations like NASA can afford nothing but the best computing power around. Less generously funded scientific communities may find that a Cray supercomputer is just out of budgetary reach, so they have to make do with a cheaper alternative, and that is lots of less powerful computers working together on the same problem. So the urban legend goes, in early 2000, when the PlayStation 2 was released, Saddam Hussein tried to get his hands on thousands of them, to chain them together to build a supercomputer to take over the world. Now, I don't intend for you to quote that in the exam, but I make the point here simply to reinforce, distributed computing has got nothing to do with a database. Let's nail an exam-appropriate definition. Distributed computing is where a series of computers are networked together, and they each work on solving the same problem. Each computer shares processing, storage, and bandwidth. So distributed computing is affordable because the computers can be used when not doing anything else. And compared to a supercomputer, a peer-to-peer distributed architecture is scalable because more computers can always be added to increase computing power. The disadvantage, of course, is that communication between nodes is totally reliant on the internet, and so there are security limitations. So, second distributed database misconception, and that is the mix-up with online databases. An online database is a database held on a web server which can be accessed from anywhere over the internet. A typical use would be to enable customers to check stock levels of a product prior to placing an order through the website. So in summary, distributed computing involves networked, standard computers working harmoniously to achieve supercomputer power. An online database is simply a database accessible through a web browser, and a distributed database is a database replicated onto multiple physical servers under the centralized control of a DBMS, i.e. one logical database hosted on more than one physical server. Clear as mud. Very common exam question. Explain what is meant by a relational database. Easy peasy, right? A large collection of data stored in multiple tables with links between them. Not so fast. That's only one mark. Second mark comes from the links, the relational bit. Tables are linked using primary and foreign keys. Here's a database exam question I was deliberately keeping until the end. Using appropriate examples, describe the advantages of a relational database over a flat file approach. Well, as you're probably listening to this on the bus on the way in for the exam, I'll not ask you to pause now for 6 minutes, but I hope you're all thinking, redundancy, data inconsistency, data integrity, and all that jazz. Point I want to make here is there's more to it. Redundancy, consistency, and integrity are all essentially different ways of saying the same thing, and it's all about redundancy. No redundancy in a relational database, whereas in a flat file database, data is duplicated unnecessarily. Give an example. E.g., customer details such as name and address would be duplicated for every order the customer placed. Don't talk about consistency and integrity unless an exam question specifically asks you to define those terms. Instead, as other advantages of a relational approach, talk about data independence. Data in a database is separate to the programs that access the data, so new applications can be developed without requiring changes to the database or other applications that use it. And the final selling point of relational databases is access rights. Access rights to data in the database can be controlled for different users. For example, a nurse in a hospital should be able to read all patient information but not be able to change drug dose, whereas a doctor could. So we've seen there that data independence can be an advantage of a relational database. It can also be a security bonus. So think about this question. Give three reasons why relational databases are more secure than the flat file approach. Data is stored separate to the programs that use it, and access rights can be granted to the data in the database. And the final cherry on the top is hierarchy of passwords, i.e. multiple passwords required to access different parts of the database. Okay, and the final segment, let's have a quick think about HCI, human-computer interface. State three factors which should be taken into account when designing a good HCI. Illustrate with examples. There should be a clear navigational structure, i.e. menus should be easy to follow so that users are able to find options intuitively. For example, hierarchical menus based on categories. Consistency. Different screens should have standard options in the same place. For example, the same position of the next button on multiple screens. On-screen help, or tooltips and wizards, to help novice users make the best use of the software without having to read the manual. For example, tips telling the user what to do depending on the current cursor position. Now let's mix it up a bit. Of those 3 points, clear navigational structure, consistency, and on-screen help, how many would be equally as applicable if we were to decide now that the target audience for this application is a young child learning to read? Well, forget all of them, and think about the specific needs of a young child learning to read. They can't read. How are they going to read a word on the screen if they can't read? Well, clearly pictures are going to be needed for word association. Perhaps an audio clip of the word being pronounced correctly. Minimal text input, for example, on-screen clicking as an alternative to the keyboard. Young children get bored easily, so we need instant feedback of responses. For example, each user input should be answered immediately, not wait until the end of, say, 10 questions. And then if you're really scratching around for marks, you could always go with bright colours to attract the child's attention and the use of a large, clear font. So the moral of the story here is be sure to tailor any suggestions about interface to the target audience and the nature of the application being suggested. So that's your lot. I hope you feel warmed up and ready for exam action. Good luck.